Hey everyone, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we'd like to welcome you to our midweek video this week. If you haven't already done so, we'd like to ask you to consider subscribing and clicking the alarm bell here on our YouTube channel so that you can get updates and stay current with the ministry here midweek as well as on Sunday mornings. Also, as we've been featuring the last number of weeks, I want to remind you about my new book. Came out about 3 weeks ago. The Preservation of God's Word, A Close Look at Psalm 12, 6, and 7. So this book is an investigation into whether or not this particular psalm is teaching the preservation of God's Word or people. And so this is a debated subject matter. If you want a short booklet on this, I would encourage you to check that out and help support the ministry by buying that book if you're so inclined. And also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We're up to 64. We were at 59 last week. I know some of you are counting and paying attention, so you're making progress here on the Rumble channel, 64 subscribers. And again, we established this as an alt-text site, should something happen to our YouTube ministry. This afternoon, I'm used to saying this morning because I'm normally teaching at church in the morning. But this afternoon, I want to talk about a subject matter related to the Pauline epistles and related to the completion of the canon and the completion of the Word of God. So this is a study that I'm going to do, and it's not directed at anybody. It's not intended to be targeted at any particular teaching or person. It's just something that I've been thinking about. And as you know, we've been studying through the book of Colossians in our main Sunday morning message. And it's something that's been on my mind for a long time, okay? And so the question that we're going to be looking at in this video is essentially, did Paul's epistles complete the canon? Or another way of putting it, were there epistles written after 2 Timothy? Were any of the New Testament documents written after the book of 2 Timothy? That's what I want to be talking about here in this video, okay? Now, so the thinking here is coming from Colossians chapter 1. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, let's look at a couple verses here. Start at verse 25. Paul says, "Where am I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known was the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, many rightly dividing grace pastors, mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalists who recognize the distinctive message and ministry of the Apostle Paul teach and have taught, as have I, that when Paul set the pen down, when he finished 2 Timothy, the last book that he had written, that the canon was closed. In other words, no New Testament books, none of the New Testament documents were written after Paul had written 2 Timothy. And the justification for that is this phrase right here, okay? Whereby I made a minister according to the dispensation of God given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So I've taught myself. You could go back on the church's YouTube page and find tons of examples of me saying that when Paul, you know, when Paul set down the pen, inspiration and revelation were over and the word of God was complete, and any church history or what tradition that says that, you know, Revelation, for example, was written as late as 90 AD or something like that, that that was all false, and that this verse established that Paul was the last one to add to the canon, and when 2 Timothy was finished, the word of God was complete. And I taught that, believe that, and you can find ample videos of me saying that if you go to our church's YouTube page. Well, a few years ago, there was some discussion and some teaching that was being done on the internet about how all of Paul's epistles, how all of the Jewish epistles from Hebrews to Revelation, they all had to have been written before Paul got saved in Acts 9. Well, that discussion prompted me to think about this a little bit more and to look at some things, okay? So let's look at the notes here that I have called up. This is a portion of notes from my study on Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 in our series. So this dispensation, the dispensation given to Paul, was given for the purpose of fulfilling the word of God. The word fulfill is the same word translated as complete in Colossians 2:10. In other words, the word of God would have been incomplete without the Pauline revelation. Okay, so the word translated here, to fulfill the word of God, that's the same word here in verse 10 of chapter 2 when he says, and ye are complete in him. So the thinking is that, well, fulfill and complete are synonyms. They mean the same thing. When Paul's done writing and the full revelation of the mystery is made known to and through the Apostle Paul, Paul set his pen on the table and revelation and inspiration were ceased at the completion of the book of 2 Timothy, and nothing was written after that. Okay? So that's where the thinking is coming from. All right? Now, I want to explore some things with you here in this video as to whether or not that is the right way to think about it. Okay? So here's my statement. I used to think this meant that when Paul set down his pen after writing 2 Timothy, the Word of God was complete in the sense that no New Testament books were written after 2 Timothy. I now realize this is not what that verse is saying. So I've changed my mind on this a little bit. Okay? So before everybody freaks out and, you know, writes in the comments about what a heretic I am, I would just ask for you to just, you know, listen to what I have to say about this. Okay? This verse is saying that without the revelation / dispensation committed to Paul, the Word of God would have been incomplete. So without the contents of the Pauline revelation, the Word of God certainly would have been incomplete. It would not have been fulfilled. It would not have been brought to its total capacity, if you will. It would have been lacking. Information that the body of Christ would have needed would have not been there. It's not in the sense that when Paul sets down the pen, it's complete or fulfilled. What he means is that the Word of God would have holes in it like Swiss cheese if his revelation had not been added to the canon. Okay? Now, let me explain a few things. Okay? It's my current understanding then that other New Testament books were probably written after Paul's death. So we're going to look at two case studies here. The first case study we're going to look at is Peter, and then we're going to look at a case study on Hebrews. And I'm going to direct you to more information about this, where you can get more information about this, okay? So, it's my current understanding that other New Testament books were probably written after Paul's death. Let's consider 2 Peter as a case study. So let's go look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, okay? Now notice carefully what Peter says. He says here, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." So as long as Peter says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, he's referring to his body, okay? His body, so in other words, as long as he's alive on this earth is essentially what he's driving at there, right? Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. So Peter is saying that he's got some final instructions while he's in this tabernacle, and he knows that shortly he's going to put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye be able, after my decrease, to have these things always in remembrance. So Peter is saying that he is going to die, that he's getting ready to die, and that he is going to put off this tabernacle or die in a manner that is consistent with what the Lord showed him. Okay. So what's he talking about here? When Peter says this, what does he mean? All right, let's go look at John chapter 1. We'll start at verse 17. John chapter 21, verse 17. Notice what it says. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now look at verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. Now look at this next statement. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So Peter, Jesus Christ, at the end of John 21, tells Peter that Peter, when he is old, when he's an old man, is going to stretch forth his hands, and another is going to gird him. And he's saying in verse 19 that this signifies the manner of death. Okay, now, when Peter writes 2 Peter, He is aware of the fact that he is about to die, that he is about to put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord showed me. So what does that tell us about Peter? At this point, at the writing of 2 Peter, it tells us that Peter is old. The reason we know Peter is old is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter in John 21. So Peter is writing the book of 2 Peter when he is an old man. Okay, so let's go back and look at the notes. So Peter is preparing to die. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Peter is preparing to die when he wrote 2 Peter. When Peter wrote 2 Peter, he explicitly tells his readers that he is shortly preparing to die, i.e. to put off this my tabernacle in a manner consistent, that is consistent with what the Lord showed him. All right? Then we went to John 21, verses 17 through 19. In these verses, the Lord predicts the manner, crucifixion, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not, and the timing of Peter's death, when thou shalt be old. So Peter is not going to die until he was old, according to Christ. Okay? Now that helps explain a little bit about Peter's boldness in the book of Acts. Peter kind of had the advantage of knowing that he was not going to die. He knew the manner that he was going to die, and he knew that he wouldn't die until he was an old man, according to what the Lord Jesus Christ told him in John 21. Consequently, when Peter writes 2 Peter, he tells his readers in chapter 1 that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, i.e. he's telling his readers that he knows he is going to die in the near future. In addition, Peter explicitly states that his death will be, quote, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. And the Lord showed Peter that in John 21, verses 17 through 19. Okay, so what can we gather from this? Therefore, we know that Peter is old when he writes 2 Peter, which means that no portion of 2 Peter could have been written before the conversion of Paul in Acts 9. Peter is alive and active all through the book of Acts after Acts chapter 9. In Acts 10, Peter has his sheep vision and visits Cornelius. In Acts 11, Peter answers questions regarding his visit with Cornelius, and Peter is present at the Jerusalem council meeting in Acts 15. So it is absolutely an impossibility that Peter wrote 2 Peter before Acts 9. It's not feasible, it's not possible, because he's an old man when he writes it, and he's getting ready to shortly put off this tabernacle as the Lord showed him. Very, very clear. Okay, so Peter is an old man, and he's going to die by crucifixion as the Lord showed him, right? Now, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's notice something else. Look at verse 14, 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in the which are some things hard to be understood. So notice that Peter references all Paul's epistles. Now, we know that Peter is old when he writes this. The idea that chapter 3 is some kind of a postscript that he adds years later is absolutely proven false by chapter 1. When he is writing and he knows that shortly he's going to put off this tabernacle, we know he's got to be old by comparing scripture with scripture with John 21. And he's saying here, he's speaking of all Paul's epistles. So you could take that one of two ways. You could take that as literally all of Paul's epistles had already been written when Peter's writing this, which would be a feasible interpretation. You could say that, well, all of the epistles Paul had written up to that point that Peter is writing 2 Peter, seems to me the most logical interpretation would say that this book has to be written very, very late, and it would seem to make, or later than we might, way, way later than Acts 9 at least, and later than we might have otherwise have thought because of the clues that are inserted into the text. So I'm not saying this is an absolute 100% definitive slam dunk, cannot be argued with position that I'm taking here, but the clues suggest that it's feasibly possible that 2 Peter could have been written after Paul was dead and after he had written 2 Timothy. Okay, so let's go back to the notes. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, all Paul's epistles appear to have been written when Peter penned 2 Peter. Therefore, 2 Peter was written after Paul had written all his epistles, when Peter was an old man. So you could I think you have a very sound argument for that by triangulating those verses, okay? So there's one line of reasoning that could suggest that Paul, that other books were written after Paul finished 2 Timothy, okay? So let's look at the case of Hebrews. Hebrews is another case, okay? So let's look at a couple things with that. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we want verse 6 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered." So this is Paul talking. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." All observers of Paul's ministry agree that this is the last book that he wrote, and he is getting ready to die. That Paul understands that the time of his departure, he's finished his course, he's at the end of his life here, and he knows that it's near. Okay? It's interesting how Paul kind of had the same awareness of that as Peter did in 2 Peter, but we're talking about Paul here. So you say, well, what's this got to do with Hebrews? Well, it actually has a lot to do with Hebrews. Just bear with me. Okay? Let's look at verse 9, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. So in these verses, Paul's aware of the fact he's going to die. Now, who's he writing this to? He's writing this to Timothy, correct? Notice what it says, "Do thy diligence to come unto me." So Paul knows he's going to die, and he asks Timothy in his final epistle to come to him, to come to where he is, knowing that he is getting ready to die, okay? "Do thy diligence to come unto me," he says there in that verse, all right? So knowing he's going to die, Paul asked Timothy to come to him, all right? Now, let's go look at verse 21. Let's look at verse 21, chapter 4, verse 21. Notice it says, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." These guys, however you pronounce their names, they greeteth thee and all the brethren, okay? Now, Paul writes 2 Timothy from a location in which there was a local assembly. Notice, how do I know that? Well, he mentions these people, and he talks about all the brethren, all right? So wherever he's at, there's a local church. It seems pretty clear that that's the case. So we start putting some verses together here. We know Paul's going to die. We know he asked Timothy to come unto him, and we know that he's asking him to come unto a place where there seems to be a local church. Paul greets Timothy on behalf of all the brethren and asks him to come where he is, all right? Now, history records, secular history, extra-biblical history, it's not stated in the Bible, records Paul's death as having transpired in Rome at the hands of Emperor Nero. We know from the book of Romans, as well as from Paul's imprisonment in Acts 28, that there was at least one local church in the city of Rome. Well, we know that because he writes to the Romans, right, in the book of Romans. So, in 2 Timothy, Paul summoned Timothy to join him where he was before the time of his execution. Paul was executed in Rome at the hands of the Emperor Nero somewhere between 64 and 67 AD. Therefore, if Timothy fulfilled Paul's final instructions in 2 Timothy, that would put Timothy in Rome at the time of Paul's death during the persecution of Christians by Emperor Nero. Now, I believe that when Timothy received this letter from Paul, Paul's final request is for Timothy to come unto him, I believe Timothy did everything he could to fulfill the dying wish of the Apostle Paul, okay? So that would have put Timothy in Rome at the time of the persecutions of Nero of Christians, okay? Now, what does this have to do with Hebrews? Well, let's look at Hebrews 13, look at verse 23. Notice what it says. "Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you." Now, is there anything stated in the book of Acts, in Paul's epistles, about Timothy having been imprisoned or deprived of his liberty? We don't read about that, but that right here, there's a clue. There's an undesigned coincidence. There's a clue here at the end of Hebrews, not only about who wrote Hebrews, which I'll leave a breadcrumb for you in my description here to a video where I explain who wrote Hebrews. I'm not going to tell you in this video because I want you to watch the other one, okay? But notice what it says. "Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you." Now watch. "Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints, they of where? Italy, salute you. So whoever wrote Hebrews is in Italy, is writing from Italy, and Timothy is there with him. So you start triangulating the references, and you have a strong case that Timothy received 2 Timothy, went to Paul, went to Rome. When he arrives in Rome, he is deprived of his liberty. He arrives at the absolute worst possible time that he could have arrived politically because of the persecutions of Emperor Nero. Timothy is deprived of his liberty, and whoever wrote Hebrews wrote it from Italy with Timothy there. Wow. Now that's an interesting thing, because that would suggest then that Hebrews was written after 2 Timothy. So let's go back to this. So Hebrews chapter 13, verses 23 through 24. This is the next and final time the New Testament mentions Timothy, the verses we just looked at. From these verses, we learn two things. Timothy had been deprived of his liberty, and two, he was in Italy when he was set at liberty, and he is present with the writer of Hebrews who's writing from Italy. The saints of Italy are saluting them. Therefore, we have scriptural evidence that Timothy, Paul's ministry companion, would have been in Italy at the time of Paul's death if he had heeded Paul's final instructions in 2 Timothy 4. Second, we know that had Timothy followed these instructions, he would have been walking into Rome/Italy at a very dangerous time for Christians in general, given the Neronian persecutions. More specifically, given Nero's hatred for Paul, it makes sense that Nero would have moved against one of Paul's chief ministry partners, i.e. Timothy, if given the opportunity. This would explain how and why Timothy came to be deprived of his liberty when in Italy. All of this, of course, means that Hebrews was written after Paul's death. I think we have very strong scriptural evidence here, both in the example of 2 Peter, and also here in the writing of the book of Hebrews, to suggest that New Testament documents were written after Paul died. Okay? Now, once we establish that point, then we sort of are open to interpreting data and verses on other verses and other books without having to sort of, you know, without those who would want to like pigeonhole all of those into a certain time period. Okay. So let's go back then to where we started. Colossians chapter 1 verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So the word of God would have been incomplete, folks, without Paul's epistles. This does not mean that 2 Timothy was the last of the New Testament books that had to have been written. There is strong scriptural evidence that other books were written after Paul was dead. Colossians chapter 1 verse 25 means that if the Pauline scriptures had never been written and God had never moved by revelation and inspiration upon the apostle Paul to write those 13 epistles, there would have been a big Swiss cheese hole in the scripture. It's Paul's writings that fulfill, that complete, that bring the God's revelation to humanity to its full and complete totality. Without Paul's 13 epistles, the Bible is not complete. It's not fulfilled. It's not finished. It's not done. Because Paul reveals what was in the mind of God, the eternal purpose of God from before the world began. So without this, the word of God certainly would not have been fulfilled. It certainly would not have been complete. But we don't need to interpret Colossians 1:25 as saying that no New Testament books had to have been written after Paul wrote 2 Timothy. So that's my scriptural argument. You know, if you want to fancy me a heretic or whatever, I suppose that's your prerogative to do that. But understand that there's at least some good reasons why I'm saying what I'm saying. Now, before you go, a couple things. Don't forget to look in the description. And by the way, what I'm talking about here, by looking at all of these things, there is a phenomenon that I think is the biggest proof of inspiration called undesigned coincidences. And I talk about these in lesson 21 and lesson 22 of our From This Generation Forever class. Undesigned coincidences are little tidbits of information that are dropped into the Bible that are done so in such a way that they are not obvious, but when you line these things up, they demonstrate and they prove that the Bible could not have been written by a human agent. The Bible had to have had a divine origin in the mind of God, and undesigned coincidences are a fascinating thing. And I strongly encourage you to check those studies out, 21 and 22, in the description for this video. And also make sure you watch the video about who wrote Hebrews as I make an argument for who I think that was. And again, I'm not going to tell you. Before you go, if you would consider liking, sharing, and commenting on this video, we would appreciate that. We want to remind you again about my book, The Preservation of God's Word, A Close Look at Psalm 12, 6, and 7, as well as our Rumble channel. If you're into alt-text sites, make sure that you sign up for that. On our church website, we go live on YouTube and Facebook every Sunday morning. We do that at 9 a.m. and also at 10:40. We're wrapping up this coming Sunday my series for this term on the preservation of the Scriptures. And then we'll continue our Colossians study at 10:40. So please comment, like, share this video. Please help us get the word out about this channel and about this wonderful grace message. And our, you know, the Bible that we have in our language that we so appreciate here. And let me just say, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you've never relied exclusively on his shed blood as the only total complete payment for your sin and his resurrection from the dead, can I encourage you, stop trying to fix your problem on your own. Stop trying to take care of it yourself, your own effort, your own work, your own performance. It's only going to leave you short of the glory of God. But we understand from the scripture that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you believe today, right now where you're seated, that Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and took care of everything that was wrong with you there on that cross, you can receive eternal life today as a free gift by simply believing and trusting in Christ's finished work on your behalf. Won't you do that today before it's everlasting too late? See you next week.